lift up, to carry, to mend. Father, I thank you for being the Messiah, the one God, the only God. And Father, that as we sing about that, I pray that we realize the importance that that is in our life. And Father, we even as we study tonight, we'll see the importance of what that means and having our desires and our minds and our eyes focused on where they need to be. And God, we just thank you for allowing us the understanding to be able to even begin to live a life that would be worthy and approved by you. And Father, we just thank you. We praise you for all that you do in us and through us. We thank you in your Son's name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at, I mentioned this morning, we're going to see a little bit under, have an understanding a little bit about the sight. We talked this morning how important it is to have our focus, and I am a firm believer that when our mind begins to wander away from Jesus Christ, that's when we begin to have difficulties and we begin to have issues in our life. And I think that's one way that Satan has come in and got the kids. I think that's one way he's come in and got the young adults. That he's come in and allowed their minds to begin to wander away from. Or the Garden of Eden. Eve, he gave just enough doubt that Eve questioned. And again, focusing off of Christ. And so I think it's really important in our lives, and Paul talks about it again in Colossians, to the letter to the church in Colossae. And interesting enough, when we see this, there's a flow of text that we need to sort of work up to. But at the very end of chapter 2, it has the concept in verse 20, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to the ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to satisfying of the flesh." And what Paul's talking is, the end of chapter 2, he says, we are dead with Christ to all the legalism. We are dead with Christ to all the stuff that the world has to offer. And again, I as I say many times, why do we resurrect that old man? That old man's dead. But yet we'll resurrect that man, and we'll resurrect that man by getting our minds focused or begin to wander away from Jesus Christ and how he would want things accomplished. So in understanding that and putting that together, we come into chapter 3. And basically in the beginning of chapter 2, knowing that all wisdom is in Christ, Paul urged the Colossians to continue in him. And again, and not being deceived by the fancy, enticing words or by the philosophers. Again, that is what happened to our young generation. They are being deceived by the fancy words. They're being deceived by the philosophy of this world. And if you really tally up the time that the young children are in school or the young adult is in college, they have them more than you do. They can teach them more hours of a day than what most parents are able to teach them. By the time they get home, by the time you get home, you have supper, you do the homework, you put them to bed. You have very little time to teach them. So they've found a way to indoctrinate our kids. That's why they're after the young generation of kids through the school system. That's why they're teaching all of the crazy things of this world to be tolerant of all the things that Scripture clearly says is wrong. They get them when they're young, and they get their minds focused off of that early. And so, and you know, many of us know young adults that have been raised in church that have been saved, and yet their minds begun to wander as they were taught by the philosophers, the college students, as college students in the dorms and in their friendships and all the things that they meet. They're steered away from. And it, even as adults, we can get our minds steered away from focusing on Jesus Christ so easily in this world. We've got all the media, we've got all the toys, we've got all the stuff, and we've got everything out there that makes it much easier for our minds to begin to wander away from Jesus Christ. I don't know, unless you play your own personal movie, I don't know of any television show, The Chosen would be the only one that will come to mind really quickly, that has any kind of a Christian thought process. I would say 98% of TV will steer your mind away from Jesus Christ. And that's what our world wants. Our world thinks they don't need him. And so living in that world, you and I, man, we've got to have a different lifestyle. We've got to have it different. And so in order to stay focused on that and to be a part of that, Paul says again in sort of going through chapter 2 that we need to continue in him, not being deceived by the philosophers. We're identified with Christ. And then again, because we are identified with Christ, we're dead with Christ in the end of chapter 2. Therefore, don't touch those things. He jumps into chapter 3. And now, basically, we were dead with Christ in chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ. So Paul gives the spectrum of what Romans 6 and 7 is all about. Because in Romans 6 says the same thing. We are buried with him, raised to the newness of life. That's what we do when we participate in the baptisms. Those are the things we say. We buried underwater, buried with Christ, raised to the newness of life. So he starts chapter 3 where chapter 2 left off. You were dead to all that stuff. But now if you are raised with Christ, there are some things or some characteristics that need to be in your life. So not only did we die with him, but we've also risen with him. And again, Romans 6, 8, and 10 talk a lot about that. And because of that, okay, that saying all that, it sets a foundation for where we're going. Because we are dead to that old, and Paul says, if ye then be, or if you are risen with Christ, there has to be a distinction. There has to be a difference. And that's what a lot of our world, and again, as I shared this morning, what I think is wrong with church in America is we redefine the word Christian. To make it look like what we want it to look like. We're Christian because we've accepted Christ. Well, you know, in the early church, they were called Christians because their actions in life showed everybody that they were following Christ. Christ followers then were labeled Christians, not just because they were saved. Today, just because you're saved, you're a Christian. And they've lost the area of, well, let's see it in life a little bit before we call them a Christian. And so, again, redefining things in a different world, in a different way, I think it's man's way of justifying so that we can stay just close enough to the world that we can enjoy some of that stuff and yet still be on the other side, still be with Christ. So Paul says there has to be. If you are risen, there's some distinctions and some differences in your life. The first one we see in verse 1 basically is seek those things which are above. Now when you see that, seek these things which are above, basically our lives should be dominated by a pattern of heaven. And Rodney and I were talking a little bit about that even and using the word father and stuff tonight. You know, we should pattern our lives as heaven would want it patterned, not as we would want to pattern, bringing heavenly direction to our earthly duties. It's bringing it's not bringing heaven down, because I always think that's so irreverent when we say, well, you know, he needs to come down and meet me. No, we need to rise above, and we go need to meet him. We need to rise above who we are and what we are. But in the mindset of that, when our mind basically setting those things which are above, and it even says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, you need to set your life as you perform the earthly duties with a heavenly mindset. So what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, in our lives, to me, what that means is that I'm going to respond as if I was in heaven to the earthly struggles. I'm going to respond in a way that God says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we are to be approved workmen. We are to study so that we're approved workmen, acceptable by him. So to be acceptable by God means you've got to have your pattern of your earthly duties set with a heavenly mindset. How would Christ respond? How would Christ do, or what would he do in the situations that we find ourselves in? And you know what I think, and my mind went to this, and maybe your mind did too, but when my mind went to the fact that, well, he's God. He's going to do it right. How can he expect me to do it like that? How can he expect me to do it right? Well, we studied that this morning. God gave the Spirit of his Son into the hearts of you and I. So we can do it right. We can do it the way God would want it done if we let the Spirit of God run our life. If we give up that control, take the hands off the steering wheel, let God run our life, we're able to, maybe we can't live the perfect life, of course, but we may be able to live a better life. And how we respond, how we talk, where we go, how busy are we for God, or how busy are we for our own deal? And so I think understanding that first section there about setting those things which are above, setting our sight, setting our life, and again, that the word set there is to seek or strive earnestly. Doesn't mean we're going to be right every time. Doesn't mean we're going to do it perfect every time. But we need to purpose in our life, because I know we all have a little bit of stubbornness in us. Nobody wants to amen that, so I will. Amen. We all got that in, okay? We all got that stubbornness in us. We just need to take that stubbornness and channel it in a proper way. I was told that all my life. For some reason, my mom thought I just had all kind of energy. And I my poor mom... Oh, she just, God love her because she put up with me. But anyway, until they channeled me on the basketball court in fourth grade, my mom and dad didn't know what to do with me. No teacher knew what to do with me. Sunday school teachers just prayed they didn't get me because I was just running everywhere. I mean, I would have invented Ritalin, okay? They didn't have it back then. But until they channeled my energy on the basketball court, after that, I had a place to let loose. I was all right. Put that into our spiritual life. We have the ability to do what we truly choose and want to do. Put that stubbornness that we have in our lives and channel it in a right way. Set your things. Set your earthly duties earnestly with a heavenly mindset. You got to go to work. You go to work with a heaven mindset. You got to do some tasks at work you really don't want to do. Well, God sent his Son to die for us, and he voluntarily walked that Via Della Rosa. But he didn't have to. But he did it to obedience to his Father. It was an example for you and I. So Christ's ministry on earth is the definition of this set. Because we see it through his ministry life. From his 12 years old, going to the temple, coming back and telling his mother, Mary, I need to be about my Father's business, telling all those things. He set his earthly duties as he was being raised. Now, we don't have hardly any information from the 12-year-old to where he began his ministry. Somewhere roughly, they say, around 30. So there's a period of his life that he lived with Joseph and Mary, became the carpenter's son and worked with him and all that kind of stuff. We don't know what went on in that period because it doesn't matter. Because he was sinless, we don't need to know all the details of that. But when we understand in this cause, everything he did it with the Father's approval in his mind. Because he had to. If he would have done one thing against what God wanted him to do, he never would have been able to hang on the cross for you and me. He had his earthly duties. He had his earthly ministry. But he had his affection. He set his sights on his Father. That's what his example of his earthly ministry was. That's what we need to have. Now, can we do it like he did it? I'm not sure that's even capable in you and I. But maybe we could do a little bit better than what we do. So that's the very first one. It's very important that we do that. Fixing the attention on things above. It goes with centering our lives. So it says, again, in the latter part of verse 1, Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, which, again, that's where he needs to be, and we understand that. And verse 2 says, set your affection on the things above, not on the things of earth. So not only are we to seek, but we are to set. So those two words going hand in hand, because as Paul said, set your minds on things. Set your affections, set your desires, set your stubbornness, set whatever you can with a heavenly mindset while you do the earthly duties. But when it says in verse 2 to set your mind on things above, it's a little bit different. When it says set your affections on in verse 2, that means, in the Greek, it means the mind. Set your mind, set your will, set your desires on things above, not on things of earth. That's the second thing that keeps our mind focused on Christ. First is to seek. Next thing is to set. So when we set them, what basically is he's doing is setting your, concentrate your concerns on the eternal, not the temporal. Setting the things on the eternal, not the temporal. And you know, I'll just say it is very difficult to do that, isn't it? When you know, sometimes you'll go places and you'll see people, and you know they're out there and enjoying life, they're out there having a blast, and you got to go to work, or you're going to church and people are out there doing things, and it's like sometimes it just appears. And David said the same thing in Psalm 73. It appears that the wicked or the evil prosper more than we do on the temporal. If I had a choice, and I do, and I made it, if I had a choice to focus more on the temporal and have more fun in the temporal and want more things in the temporal instead of the eternal, I could. But we can't even imagine living eternity with the good stuff. And that's what happens when we set our minds on Jesus Christ. When we set our minds focused on there, we walk the life, we live the life, we're seeking, we're setting. And all those things, Scripture says, we store up in heaven. We store those things up. And so when Paul is talking again to them in Colossae in the church, he's writing to them saying, listen, you just died with Christ. Get rid of the legalism in chapter 2. If you're risen with Christ, then there needs to be a couple things that you're working on, you're focusing on, and your life will show. And our life will show that. How does our life show that we're seeking heaven's approval and that we're setting our ways and our things not on the earth but in heaven? Well, it's those earthly things won't matter. Paul says we have Christian liberty, right? We all believe that we have Christian liberty. We have a right to. Do whatever you want to do. You want to go wherever you want to go, go. You want to talk like you want to talk, talk like you want to talk. Dress like you want to dress. Paul says we have a right to, even though we're Christians, we have a right to, but is it right to? That's the question. Is it right to? You see, that's where you go, as we talked this morning, from the child, the babe, the infant, to the son. I want what I want. You know, them little spoiled kids in the middle of the grocery stores kicking and screaming until mom gives in and gives them the candy. Yeah, they purposely put that stuff right at the registers all the time. Well, that's sometimes how we respond in our spiritual life. God, I want. God, I want. God, you got to do. God, you got to fix this. God, you got to. And we're acting like that small infant spoiled child. But when you move into the son side of it, you realize that it's a totally different world. It's a totally different way to respond. And so that's what Paul is teaching. And I think that's what, as we were seeing in Galatians this morning about the difference between and the importance of, how do we stay focused our minds on Christ? Well, we stay focused because we've already planned. We've already prepared. Now, I don't know of anybody going to work or going to do a project, going on a vacation. You don't do some planning. That's just common sense, right? You plan the trip. You plan the project. I had one person one time when I was had my motorcycle running around like a crazy man. Somebody challenged me because I was sitting there playing where all the motorcycle, where all the gas stations were on the trip. And they said, why do you do that? Just go. Just be free. Go. You'll find one. All right. Duh. Just go. Yeah, I walked the bike a half mile because the gas station wasn't where it was supposed to be. It's like you got to plan. If you don't plan, you're sure to fail. Why don't we plan our spiritual life out? Why don't we plan our everyday out? I am going to plan and prepare to seek and to set so that my mind doesn't wander away from Jesus Christ. Why don't we do that? Well, we do that, right? We read our Bible for a couple minutes and we pray a quick prayer and we're set to go. No, you're not. All you did was check a box. Difference, we don't check a box in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We work on that relationship. We mentor, we groom that relationship with Christ. And we do that by, as Paul is saying, seeking and setting those things where they need to be. So in the process of that, what Paul is saying in verse 2 about setting our minds, basically, again, it's what do you want, the temporal or the eternal? 2 Corinthians 4:18. There are things that are temporal and there's things that are eternal. If we would focus our mind on the eternal things, some of these earthly things that bother us will be gone. They'll be gone. You won't have a fear. You won't have a worry. You won't have a wish I could or wish I did. They're gone because I'm focused on eternity. I'm focused in things that are out of this world, and I think that's very important. As we see that and we know the understanding of that, we need to set our hearts in Colossians or 2 Corinthians 4:18, also in Colossians 3, as it's saying here, setting our hearts on things not on the earth but on above. Verse 3 says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Again, that desire of old should be gone. Desire of the world should be gone, and we should focus on Him and Him only. So the moment we are saved, we realize that we are, again, dead in Christ, with Christ to the evil of the flesh of the sin nature. And then life is now available to us, but it's hid in Christ. If you want a joyful life, you have to stay focused on Christ. If you want a joyful outcome, I'm not saying you're going to get the outcome you want. If you want a joyful outcome, if you want to be able to have a peaceful mind. What does Scripture say about our minds in peace? Our mind will be on peace when? It's focused on Christ. All of Scripture goes to the same concept. If our mind stays focused on Christ, we have the joy, we have the peace, we have the rest, and we also have the hope, because whatever we go through on earth, it will never compare what we are going to gain in the eternal. Doesn't matter what we go through on earth. Well, it matters, but compared to eternity, man, we have all eternity to have the joy with Christ, all eternity to have that rest and to be a part of His plan for whatever that looks like in heaven. So that's what Paul was saying here again in verses 3 and also in 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall He also appear with Him in glory. And again, it's talking about His appearing. It's talking about the hidden there. Basically, He's hidden in our life, which is a concealment type mindset for the safety. Invisible, security. We have all of those things within us. And what got me as I studied through this is, why do we wander so easily? Why do our minds wander so easily away from Jesus Christ? And how do we know our mind is wandering away? Is because of how we're responding to a life event, or how we're responding to the people around us. How are we handling life? That's one of the greatest thermometers in our life, to see how we handle things, to see how things are in our life. So as we look at those, again, life is now hidden with Christ in God. And again, it's a concealment, yet safety. It's invisible, yet security. And in the realm of understanding where it's all going with this verse, verse 5 sets it all the stage. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he goes on to a whole list of things. The fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, and the covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. See, all through Scripture, God knew that you and I would struggle with this. God knew when he created Adam and Eve that they were going to fail. God knows all of our struggles. He knows we're going to struggle accomplishing this. And yet we realize that by his grace, and by his faithfulness, you and I are able to have something far greater. So when he appears in verse 4, we realize that that appearing, basically, we will be glorified then at that point, and that's when we will truly be like him. So on earth, Scripture says we are to mirror the image of Christ. Nowhere does it say we will be that image, we will be that likeness until we are in heaven. We're to mirror it the best we can. And I'll tell you, the only way I know is to keep our minds focused. To keep our minds focused, not wandering away from the things of God. And how important it is that we do that, because we need to understand this new direction in our life basically focuses the attention off of us. Because I don't want people to look at my life and think, man, he has it all together, or he can do these great things, or he does all these things. No, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Christ. I want them to see Christ in me. That's the focus. That's doing all the earthly duties with the heavenly mindset. That's pleasing God and getting the approval of God. And that's, again, Colossians 3:22. Do all things to the glory of God. Everything we do, and I've said it many times, my phrase is audience of one. If we live our life every day for him, he is the only audience. We live our life like he is the only one watching. He is the only one we're concerned with. I think our decisions may be a little bit different. Some of the things we do may be a little different. So how do we get to what Paul was talking about in Galatians? How do we understand that sonship and that heir and be all a part of that and not get involved in the earthly things, the worldly things? Well, I think it's the only way we can do that is take this understanding of chapter 3, because he goes on to the end of chapter 3 and he just says, again, putting off all the sins of the old life, doing all the things differently. And when it comes into verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We do it through the Holy Spirit in us. And that verse says, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. They're all mentioned there. And so you and I have that ability. You and I have the recourse. We have the strength. We have the wisdom we need to be able to do, I think, what God asks us to do. And is it hard? Absolutely. Is it much easier to look at other individuals and start picking away their ideals, or get a little, not maybe envious, but again, covetousness is the same as envy. You know, if you covet something that your neighbor has, it's just as wrong. You're envying what they have, what they're basically enjoying. So all of those things come into our lives. We can't stop those things. You can't stop life. You can't stop the stuff coming in, but you can respond to it differently. And I truly believe that's what Paul's trying to teach. When our minds, when we're seeking that heavenly approval, we will respond differently. When we've set in order, we've set our earthly duties in a course that God would like, we're doing it for God. And therefore, because we're doing it for God, it's different than what the world has. And I don't know, there's a million-dollar question out there on how this all went wrong that nobody's been able to answer yet. And because you and I both know that there are many Christians who don't have this distinction in their life. There are many individuals claiming Christianity and not having the distinguished life. And so there's something missing. There's something off. And I truly believe it comes with the way we think, how we plan and prepare our day. That's my challenge to me and to you tonight in looking at this and bringing it into an understanding of how can I get there? How do I do this? Well, to the best of our ability, we've got to stay focused. We've got to stay focused on the things above. Stay focused in setting our things where God would want them to go. And so that's my challenge tonight. Any comments or questions on that? Anybody want to add to or take away? I'll try not to take away and make me feel bad. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, Rodney. I can't hear all that. Yeah. No. Well, like we talked this morning, you know, even that Sound of Freedom, that movie, I mean, the realization that goes on more than we're even aware. Just the evilness, when God says in the scriptures, suffer not these children to come unto me, hurt one of my kids, hurt one of these kids and a millstone around your neck in the water. You know, that's my little short version of what the text says. He cares about those kids. He really does. And it's hard to, and that's why it makes it so hard for us to be able to just say, you know, I want to live this great life, because there is so much out there against us doing that. I mean, you talk about going against the flow. I think Linda said that this morning. She was trying to go that way. Everyone was coming in. She's going against the flow. Going against the flow of our world should be easy. But going against the flow of Christianity, that's the hard one. Because you can find any pastor, you can find any church, and you can find any person to agree with you whether you're right or wrong. And that's, again, the problem with Christianity. It's been redefined and re-understood. So, again, the truth. I said it this way to a gentleman. He wanted to discuss a little heavily some of the truths of the Scripture. And I said, you know, the only reason two people argue over truth is because they both put their own opinion to the truth. Now think about that. If it's true, how can you argue the truth? It's truth, okay? You can't change it. You can't argue it. But because I look at it this way, or you look at it this way, or you think it says this, or I think it, man's opinion is what creates the arguments of the truth. Well, exactly. And when we put, well, that's what I'm saying. When you get individuals want to argue scriptures, how can you argue truth? It's because we put our own opinions into it too much. We put our own thoughts into it too much. And we want it to say something we really want it to say. Instead of just leaving that all go, what is the truth? When you set your mind on the truth, John 8:32 says the truth will set you free. That's freedom. That is true freedom. As we saw this morning, that freedom in Christ. And I hope you're working on your Sound of Freedom, because we need to get it out there. We need to get it out there. Any other comments or anything else tonight? Appreciate that. Appreciate the study. It is a definite discipline because, well, they say, I think what they say, if you do something for 28, 30 days, it becomes a habit. It takes one, maybe two Sundays to lose it, you know? And, you know, so put it into your, you know, I'll put it into exercise, you know, put it into my own deal. You exercise one or two days and then you're like, I'll skip the day, I'll be all right. And then a month goes by and like, you know, I gotta get back to that. It's so easy when you say, I don't need it, no matter what it is. But boy, we really do need this truth. We have to have that truth because that's the only way we're going to keep our minds focused on Christ. We've got to have the truth. So I think it's very important. But it's not easy. It's very hard. And it doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're busy. And, you know, I've talked to many people who are retired, and they're like, I don't know how I ever worked. I'm so busy. I don't know how I ever worked. You know, so we always stay busy. That's within our nature. And if you ever read C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters, it's not an easy read, and it'll twist you up a bit, but that's what Satan's final statement is. The only way that we can get God's children further from God is to keep them busy. And that's his tactic, keep them busy. And that's very true. It's hard to get back there and make that discipline. But I know you're all stubborn. I know you can do it. Just got to focus it in the right place. Focus that in the right place. All right, anything else? Any other statements or comments on that? Yes, sir. That's true, and we are a self-centered generation. I mean, we you know, everybody's their own agenda, their own deals, and yeah. Because when you worry about you only, then there is no love for your brother. Yeah, or time away to love God. It's interesting, if we would take a monitor, take a test on how much time we spend determines how much we love the person, where would that go? You know, how much would we love them? Wait a minute. I don't remember that word. Oh, yeah, I think it's a good perspective on it, absolutely, because we all have that tendency, you know, and again, I think if we focus our mind on Christ, stay focused on him, that automatically allows us to serve others, because that's all he did. I mean, that's what he was all about. He didn't have a place to lay his head, but that text in the first chapter of John, when Peter and Andrew said, where do you lay your head, where do you sleep, where, he said, come and see. They had no idea what they were in for. But I picture that as, you know, every time I ask God, just come and see, you know, come with me. I'll show you all that stuff. And so that's the relationship builder. It really is, because we can't be self-centered and serve God. It just doesn't work. Doesn't matter what profession you're in. Could even look at me as a pastor. If I was just so self-centered that I didn't care about anybody and do anything for anybody, I wouldn't be here very long. You wouldn't want me. You wouldn't let me. Pastor, that's not a pastor. Pastor, you're supposed to be here and serve. And when we call you, you're supposed to help and da-da-da-da-da. You know, pastor, ministry is the only profession where you're only needed when you're needed. until you're not needed, they go, well, what do you do all day? Anyway, I'll get off that horse too. When you're needed, you better be there. But anyway, got to vent a little bit. But that's just life. That's the way it is. And so we need to realize that, yeah, it's hard. And the world makes it even harder the more evil it becomes. You think a Christian life would be easier to detect as evil as our world is getting. But, man, we're just slipping down that slope with them. So it's hard. It's very hard. Do you have something to say? Oh, brother. All right, let's pray and we'll let you out of here tonight. Father, we thank you for the time together tonight and just thank you for the laid-back study. And Father, it's how important it is that we stay focused. And Father, I just pray that you allow us to take that inner drive that we have and focus it where it needs to be focused. And Lord, it's very difficult, but we know that we can do it because you're promises are true, that we can do all things through you that strengthens us. And God, I just pray that we take that to heart. And Lord, may we rethink, may we look at our sights and our priorities, and may we just take the text that we see tonight and apply it, not just know that it's there, but really truly apply it in our life. And God, we just raise it up to you. We thank you and praise you for who you are. In your son's name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.